Good afternoon. I'm inviting all of us to pray, especially this Tuesday night. We are going to meet here this Tuesday night. If you are free, come. You can collapse your D group, come. We will pray for the persecuted church. And there's a special request from our friend, Dr. Andrew Luzon. Andrew Luzon, a good friend of CCF, has been diagnosed with cancer of the liver. So he's asking anybody to pray about donating part of the liver. It must be 18 to 60 years old, type A, no hepatitis, high blood, willing to give part of his liver, which will grow back in a few weeks. So you pray about it, okay? I'm reminded of how short life can be. So we will pray for him. Now, before we pray for him and for all of us, do you want to know what's happening to our building project? All right, let me update you. This is the latest picture. I praise God. Now, believe it or not, by the grace of God, we don't have to borrow a single centavo. To God be the glory. I am reminded that God's work, God's project will be accomplished with or without our participations. If that is His plan, He will use other people. So my prayer is this. Those of you who have contemplated to give, well, the time is coming to a close when I will tell you no more giving because the project will be finished. Some of you have not yet participated. The reason why I like all of us to participate is very simple. Whatever you invest here, it will last for eternity because this is going to be a school. We are going to train young people. This will be a world-class school plus a world-class training center. We are going to train different pastors, and this will be our worship training center. So keep praying, and if God has touched your heart, you give. You know I don't always talk about this. I've not updated you for the last, 6 weeks? So I'm just updating you financially by the grace of God. The money has been coming. So praise God. And then, our prayer mountain. This is what it's going to look like. It's under construction. Therefore, this is what you see now. Right? We are through with the dorm. We're building this. We will continue constructing because our burden is to have a retreat center, conference center for our leaders, for our young people. So this is what's happening. Now, I want to thank you also for praying for me last weekend. Remember you prayed for me? I was in Cebu. Well, people responded, and by the grace of God, we have an amazing turnout of people. Over 1,000, almost 1,100, 1,200. Praise God. Okay, that's Cebu CCF. This morning, this afternoon, we will continue. We will start a new series. A new series that has to do with virtues. Now, past few weeks, we have been talking about negative emotions. And now, we will talk about how do you have positive emotions. It has to do with virtues, with character. I want to talk about forgotten, neglected, lost virtues. And the first virtue I want to talk about, and we'll continue this Sunday, next Sunday, is one of the most important virtues, if you ask me. It's called humility. Will you turn your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 5? Turn your Bibles, please. Did you bring your Bibles? I know, CCFers, you have almost memorized the whole Bible. But be humble. Bring your Bibles. 1 Peter chapter 5. Let's begin with verse 5. Why don't you all stand up, please? All stand up. Let us read the Bible together. 1 Peter is at the end of the Bible. Let's read it together. Everybody. You younger men, likewise, be subject to your elders, and all of you clothe yourselves with humility toward one another. For God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety upon Him, because He cares for you. May the Lord add blessings to the reading of His word. Let's remain standing. Father God, what a privilege it is to worship You, to to stand before you, to listen to your words. And now with one heart, we are reminded of our brother, Andrew. We pray for supernatural healing in his life. That if possible, Lord, I pray, there won't be any need of liver transplant. Lord, he loves you. He has served you. I pray you will grant him many more years. And we thank you for this country. We pray for our president, his sincere desire to get rid of graft and corruption. But Lord, he cannot do this alone. So I pray that you surround him with good people. And you be the one to expose the graft and the corrupt. Lord, do something mighty in this country so that the whole world will know this is really a blessed country. But Lord, I know there won't be any blessing unless your people will humble themselves, that there will be a spiritual revival. So I pray for real spiritual transformation. I pray for families that they will learn to practice love. I pray especially for Christian families that they will save their marriages, that they will all learn to practice love. And now I commit to you our worship training center. We pray for architect Go. We pray for the rest of the contractor. We pray for Monolith. We pray for the rest of the interior designers that you will intervene supernaturally and that this project will be built with the best design, with the most economical way of building it. Lord, you know our heart. We don't want to build a monument. We want to build a movement of men and women who is concerned in sharing the gospel, transforming lives. So I commit to you the future of this project. I also thank you for the prayer mountain. I thank you for all the C-shaped outreaches. And I thank you for all the Christians who are worshiping today all over the world, that we will bring honor, glory to your name. I now commit to you this service from beginning to end. Teach me what to say. Speak to all of us. In Jesus' name we all pray. Amen and amen. Thank you. Please be seated. Neglected virtues. Number one, I want to talk about be humble. Can you turn to your neighbor, tell your neighbor, be humble. How many of you are humble? Let's read this together. I believe the first test of a truly great man is his humility. I agree with this quotation. It is not his money. It is not his position. It is not his accomplishment. Humility. Humility, everybody read this. Humility is something we should constantly pray for. Yet, never thank God that we have. If you are telling me, Pastor Peter, I thank God. I am so humble now. You have just lost your humility. Okay? Humility is something you need to constantly remind yourselves. What's the opposite of humility? Pride. Let's read this. There is one vice of which no man in the world is free, which everyone in the world loses when he sees it in somebody else, and of which hardly any people except Christians ever imagine that they are guilty themselves. The vice I'm talking about is pride. Do you notice proud people will never admit they are proud? Do you notice the world do not value humility? Show me a course in the university that will teach you how to be humble. In fact, in this world, they look for proud people. They want people to be boastful. But Jesus gave us the opposite. Jesus tells us, if you want to be the greatest, be the servant. Jesus tells us, you want to be number one, be the last. Jesus tells us, you want to go up, you go down. Be humble. And I will tell you, couple of observations. Let me start with at least three observations. Let's read this together now, everybody. Together. You, younger men, likewise, be subject to your elders. And all of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another. For God is opposed to the proud, he gives grace to the humble. Notice, this is a command. This is not a suggestion. This is written by the Apostle Peter from first-hand experience. Do you recall what happened to Peter when he was with Jesus? He was telling Jesus, even if everybody will deny you, I will never deny you. Remember? And then Peter even said, I will die for you. If everybody run away, I will die for you. What happened to Peter? Be humble. You younger men, likewise. Referring to, after he was talking to the elders, he now tells the younger men, be subject to your elders. The word subject is a military term. It is saying you fall in line. This is a very important word. It's a command. Now, most of us do not like to submit to one another. So he makes sure you understand. So continue reading. And everybody read. And all of us, what must we do? Clothe yourselves with humility. The word clothe is an amazing word. It is in the imperative. It's a command. But the word clothe yourselves is used to describe an apron, a piece of cloth that the slave will tie around their waist before they serve. This is a picture of what Jesus did. Remember, on the last night before he was betrayed, the Bible tells us Jesus took on a piece of what? Cloth. And he wrapped himself around it and he began to wash the feet of the disciples. This is a word picture of humility, serving one another. So Peter tells us, let's read this together now. Clothe yourselves with what? Humility. It's a picture of a servant. Why? He gives you two reasons. Number one, God is opposed to the proud, gives grace to the humble. Now, the word opposed is another military word. It is used to describe an army that has been organized, that has been formed in marching order, ready to attack. So this is a very serious command because he is saying, be humble. Why? Because God is what? Opposed. Notice, if you're opposed by an army, that's scary. But the one opposing you is not an army. It's God. The Bible says, God is what? Opposed to the proud. The grammar is very emphatic. It is continuously, constantly opposed to the proud people. God will never change his mind. He will oppose the proud people. Now, question. Are you humble or are you proud? I know you will tell me, I am not proud, or just proud a little. I'm going to tell you, today we will discuss whether you are proud or not. What's the message today? Be humble. Why? Because God is opposed to the proud. What else? He gives grace to the humble. Notice the grammar. God wants to bless us. That's why he wants you to be humble. The word gives grace, present tense. He wants to keep on giving you grace. The word give has the idea of transferring the title. Now, you and I need grace. God is saying, I will give you grace. Not just once, not just twice. I will give you lots of grace. Do you need grace? Yes or no? I don't know about you. Some people, they want justice. They want fairness. Me? I like grace. You like grace? If your name is Grace, hallelujah. But I'm not referring to a person. I like the grace of God. Because the grace of God brings salvation. The grace of God brings sanctification. The grace of God gives you power to live the Christian life. The context of 1 Peter 5 is the believers were under persecution. And Peter is saying, you humble yourselves. God will give you the grace to endure trials. Are you having problems today? Yes or no? Yes or no? Yes. Well, I give you a solution. Be humble. Turn to your neighbor. Tell your neighbor, be humble. And then the Bible tells us, everybody read, therefore. Now, what is therefore? Remember what we just discussed a while ago? God is opposed to the proud, gives grace to the humble. Therefore, what must you do? Everybody, humble yourselves. This is another command. Humble yourselves. Listen to me. Don't humble your neighbor. You humble yourselves, okay? Don't say, this is for my wife, this is for my husband, this is for my friend. No, mayabang yan, dapat nandito siya. No, 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 no. Don't think of others. This is for you, understand? Humble who? yourselves. You cannot humble others. ¿Comprende? You and the Lord. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. Every time the Bible uses the word mighty hand of God, it has to do with supernatural divine intervention. This is used to describe how God opened the Red Sea. This is used to describe how God intervened supernaturally. The hand of God is mighty. Then what must you do? Let's continue reading. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. Why should you be humble? That He may what? Exalt you. The word exalt means what? Lift you up. God will never lift you up until you are ready. If you are worried about your position, you are worried about your business, you are worried about your career, God is saying, you be humble, you trust me. I will lift you up at the right time. Casting all your anxieties upon Him because He cares for you. I'm going to explain that in a short while. So the message today is very simple. What is the message today and next week? Be humble. Turn to your neighbor one more time. And be humble, okay? Simple outline. Be humble. You know why? God opposes the proud. Be humble. You know why? God gives grace to the humble. Be humble. Can I tell you why? Because God exalts the humble. Let's begin with God opposes the proud. I've described this to you already. It's a military word. God is always against. He will never change His mind. Let me give an example. Jesus gave a story of two men. Let's read this together. Two men went up into the temple to pray. One a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and was praying this to himself. Oh God, I thank you. I am not like other people, swindlers, unjust, adulterers, even like this tax collector. What do you notice about proud people? Proud people love to compare. Proud people like to judge others. Just examine yourself, okay? I'm not saying your name is Pharisee, okay? But there are some people here who may be guilty of spiritual pride. You read your Bible, you worship. The Pharisees, they go to church every Sunday, every Saturday, every day. They memorize the scripture. They keep long prayers. But God looks at the heart. Now, what's wrong with this Pharisee? He was judging others. Am I correct? Look at the next verse. I fast twice a week. How many of you fast at least once a week? Raise your hand. Okay, may I remind you? Let's all fast once a week for the country, for our church, for your family, once a week. I suggest Monday lunch. We used to do it every Tuesday. But when the pastors meet on Tuesday, they love to eat. So sometimes we cannot fast, okay? So it's Monday. I suggest you join us. When you fast, you say, Lord, I'm doing this for you. You pray. And then look at what he said. I fast twice a week. I pay what? Tithes of all that I get. Now, do you tithe? Or are you so tight? No, remember, tithe is not yet giving in a biblical sense of the word. Tithe belongs to the Lord. If you are just giving tithe, you are just saying, Lord, this is yours. I try to give over and above tithes. Understand? But that's not the topic today, okay? The topic today is what? Be humble. Verse 13, the tax collector, standing some distance away, was even unwilling to lift up his eyes to heaven, but was beating his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. You know, I realize humble people do not focus on the sins of other people. The longer I live, the older I get, by the grace of God, I realize my own sinfulness. Because God looks at the heart. He does not focus on the external. And most of us are judgmental, critical. Something's wrong with us. This tax collector that nobody would respect, he was humbled. And I tell you something. In the Bible, God is attracted, God is drawn to humble people. You see this again and again throughout the Bible. The Bible tells us God gives grace to the humble. What's the message today? Be humble. Look at verse 14. I tell you, this man, the tax collector, the sinner, went to his house justified. The word justified means declared not guilty in the eyes of God. This guy is going to go to heaven. But not the other one. Who is the other one? The religious Pharisee. Because God looks at the heart. You see, proud people don't depend on Jesus. Proud people depend on themselves. They want to impress others and God how righteous they are. But humble people, Lord, I don't deserve heaven. I need forgiveness. And the Bible tells us, let's read this last sentence, for everybody, for everyone who exalts himself will be humbled. And he who humbles himself will be exalted. You know, I tell my friends, if you want to have problems, be proud. What's the message today? Be humble. You know why? Let me tell you the story of a king. Years ago, there was a king. His country became so powerful. He was able to attack Jerusalem. In the process, he destroyed the temple of Jerusalem. This king's name was King Nebuchadnezzar. In his mind, the Jewish God, the God of Israel, is gone. Because the nation reflects who their God is. Now that Israel is gone, the God of the Bible is gone. He's nobody. You can no longer worship. No more temple. Remember the Jewish religion. Without the temple, how can you worship? So God gave King Nebuchadnezzar an amazing dream. And he could not interpret it. The dream has to do with a big tree. Lots of leaves. And people were coming. Animals were going to find shelter. And suddenly it was chopped down. Now Nebuchadnezzar was troubled. Nobody could interpret. Except who? Daniel. So turn to Daniel chapter 4. He now explains to the king the significance of what's going to happen. Let us read this together now, everybody. He now tells the king, this sentence is by the decree of the angelic watchers, and the decision is a command of the holy ones. In order that the living may know that the Most High is ruler over the realm of mankind and bestows it on whom he wishes and sets over it the lowliest of men. This dream was given by God with the following words to the king Nebuchadnezzar. And this is the significance. Everybody read that phrase. In order, please read with me. In order that the living may know that the Most High is sovereign ruler over all the realm of mankind, bestows it on whomever he wishes, and sets it over the lowliest of men. One more time. Look at that verse. In order, everybody, in order that the living, notice, who is the living? Us. That truth was given so that you and I will know that your success, my success, is because of God. This was given that the living will know that the Most High, let's read that, that the Most High, that is the Chinese word for God, Sang Ti, the Most High, is the ruler of what? Let's read, the ruler over the realm of mankind and bestows it on whom he wishes. Ladies and gentlemen, your position today, your company today, your talents today, wherever you are today, is because of who? God. Lest you forget, lest you think it is your abilities, the Bible says, be humble. And you know what happened? When Daniel understood this dream, let's continue. What will happen? You will be driven away from mankind. Your dwelling place will be with the beasts of the field. You will be given grass to eat like cattle. Oh, king, you will become crazy. Why? Let's read. Until you recognize that the Most High, Sancti, that the Most High is ruler over the realm of mankind and bestows it on whomever He wishes. You know, when Daniel understood the dream, he was so worried. The king approached him. The king said, "Don't worry." Daniel said, "I am concerned because the dream is about you." See, this dream is about the king. And then Daniel advised the king. Daniel said, everybody read? "Therefore, O king, may my advice be pleasing to you. Break away from your sins by doing righteousness." Can I tell you something? Do you know why God is opposed to the proud? Because pride is the root of many other sins. Let me prove to you. Look at this verse. "Break away from your sins." Proud people think they're above the law of God. Proud people think they're exempted from the Bible. Proud people do not change. Even if you tell them what you are doing is wrong, proud people don't listen. Break away from your sins. Why do people commit sin? Think about it. Because you think you're equal with God. You think the law of God doesn't apply to you. Do you know why you got to be humble? Almost 90%+ of all negative feelings is because of the lack of humility. Let me give you an example. Anger. Why are you angry? Why? Because your goal is black. You cannot have it your way. So what if you cannot have it your way? Why are you angry? You are proud. In your mind, it has to be my way. Either my way or nobody else's way. That's why you're angry. Why are you bitter? Why do you react? Why? Why are you bitter? Why are you unforgiving? Explanation. You feel people have taken advantage of you. You feel people have stepped on you. Yes or no? So why do you feel bad? Your pride. Your pride is hurt because people have taken advantage of you. Look at Jesus. Did they take advantage of Jesus? Did they step on Jesus? Yes or no? You see, pride is a root sin. It produces many sins. What is the first sin of Satan? The Bible tells us Satan was created beautifully until pride entered his heart. He said, "I will be like God." You see, God could have made Satan into a robot. God could have made men into robots. But he didn't do it. Because God is very secure. God wants you, God wants me to humble ourselves and follow Him and trust Him. Look at the sin of Nebuchadnezzar. "O king, my advice to you," let's read it again. "My advice to you, break away from your sins." So listen to me now. Proud people don't repent. Proud people don't want to be corrected. They think they are above. They're exempted. They don't follow rules. They make their own rules. You know, many Christians make their own rules. I don't think the Bible says this. Continue reading. "And from your iniquities, by showing mercy to the poor." You see, proud people don't care about other people. You know, proud people are always thinking of themselves. They think of I. They think of me. They think of myself. Have you met these three people? I, me, and myself? Have you met them? Yeah, turn to your neighbor. Tell your neighbor, "That's you." I, me, myself. Self-centered. That's the problem with pride. Self-centeredness. And then, what's amazing is this. After warning the king, let's read this. All this happened to Nebuchadnezzar, the king. 12 months later, he was walking on the roof of the royal palace of Babylon. My goodness, just within 12 months, the king reflected and said, "Is this not Babylon the Great, which I myself have built as a royal residence by the might of my power? For the glory of my majesty, I myself have built this." You know, I'm reminded of many successful executives. You be careful. You might be thinking, "It is because of my hard work, because of my talent, I built my company. It's because of my hard work, I'm where I'm in this position." Ladies and gentlemen, God is the one who will entrust to you your position, your financial blessing. Yes or no? What's the message today? Be humble. Why? God is opposed to the proud. What happened? What the Bible tells us. While the word was in the king's mouth, a voice came from heaven. King Nebuchadnezzar, it is declared sovereignty has been removed from you. And the Bible tells us he became a crazy man. He began to eat grass. He became a vegetarian overnight. You will be driven away from mankind until you recognize that the Most High is ruler over the realm of mankind, bestows it on whomever he wishes. At the end of that period, I, Nebuchadnezzar, raised my eyes toward heaven, and my reason returned to me, and I bless the Most High, a pagan king, beginning to realize who God is. And I bless the Most High, and praise and honor him who lives forever and ever. Notice what he said about God. His kingdom, his dominion is an everlasting dominion. Everybody, read. His kingdom endures from generation to generation. All the inhabitants of the earth are accounted as nothing. He does according to his will. In the host of heaven, among the inhabitants of earth, no one can ward off his hand and say to him, what have you done? Ladies and gentlemen, you know why you should be humble? Because you are not God. There's only one God. We are created beings under the grace and mercy of God. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise, exalt, honor the King of heaven. Why? Number one, his works are true. His ways are just. And he's able to humble those who walk in pride. I don't know about you. I don't want to fight God. Be humble. Can you turn to your neighbor? Tell your neighbor, be humble. You know, I'll be very happy if you will remember this message for the rest of your life. What's the message? Be humble. You know what happened to the son of the king? If you were the son of the king, will you remember the lesson? The truth is this. We are quick to forget. Now he talks to the son. Daniel talks to the son. Let's read this together. O king, the Most High God granted sovereignty, grandeur, glory, majesty to Nebuchadnezzar, your father. And because of the grandeur he bestowed on him, all the peoples, nations, and men of every language feared your father. But when, everybody read now, when his heart was lifted up and his spirit became so proud, he behaved arrogantly. Remember, the root sin is what? Pride. Pride will have many other sins. Arrogance. Disobedience. Rebellion. He behaved arrogantly. He was deposed from his royal throne, and his glory was taken away from him. He was driven away from mankind, etc. Yet, you read this now, yet you, his son, Belshazzar, have not humbled your heart. Even though you knew all of this, you have exalted yourself against the Lord of heaven. You have praised the gods of silver and gold, but the God in whose hand are your life breath and all your ways you have not glorified. You see, pride is very insidious. It's very subtle. The moment you focus on gold, silver, position, money, and you don't give God his proper place in your life, my friend, that is a form of pride. That's why God is opposed to the what? To the proud. Gives grace to the humble. Let's read this together. In order that the living, that you and I may know that the Most High is ruler over all the realm of mankind, bestows it on whom he wishes, sets it over the lowliest of men. So, gentlemen, business people, never ever think it is your ability that is building your business. It is your success. It is your hard work. It's not about you, my friend. Who is the one responsible for your present position today? God. Can God take away your position? No problem. Be humble. Never take credit. Never say, this position is mine. Everything is temporal. God can give, God can take away, including your money, and above all, including your very life. Your very life is dependent on the Lord. So please, be humble. Comprende? Si. Can I tell you why it's not easy to be humble? That's why God reminds us, God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, what must you do? Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. You got to remember, for the rest of your life, you will never say, you know what, Peter? I have achieved humility. I'm very humble already. Don't remind me anymore. Please don't remind me anymore. I'm humble. Now, the moment that's your attitude, what does that mean? Read it again, verse 6. Therefore, what must you do? Humble yourselves. I cannot make you humble. I cannot. God. Now, let me explain to you the grammar. Humble yourselves is in the passive voice. What does that mean, passive voice? It means you need God's help to help you humble yourself. Passive voice means you cooperate with God. God will use circumstances. God will use problems. You cooperate with Him. Because God is at work. Humble yourselves in a passive voice. Under the mighty hand of God. You cooperate with God. And then what will He do? He will exalt you at the proper time. But you got to cooperate. But let me tell you, most of us don't cooperate. Because we have this bad habit of pride. Let me show you an example. 2 Chronicles 26. King Uzziah was 16 years old when he became king. He reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. My goodness. This guy was one of the longest serving king in Israel, Jerusalem. He did right in the sight of the Lord according to all that his father Amaziah had done. Was he a good king? Louder. Yes. Verse 5. And he continued to seek God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding through the vision of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God prospered him. This is the paradox of the Christian life. This guy was 16 years old. He had no choice but to be humble. You know why? He does not know how. He asked for advice. He asked for people's opinion. He was very prayerful. Lord, help me. I'm only 16 years old. I don't know how to rule. He started out well. And the Bible says, as long as he sought the Lord, what did God do? God bless him. This is the paradox. The more humble you are, the more God will bless you. The problem is this. The more you are blessed, the more you are tempted to become proud. You see our problem? You are humble. God gives you grace. He blesses you. He blesses us. And then once you receive the blessing, what's the temptation? Do you know why it's not easy to be humble? Listen to me. When you become successful, people will come to you. People will go near you. And they will ask for your autograph. They'll ask for your picture. I'm warning everybody, when we move to CCF, new building, you make sure we all remind ourselves, okay? Be humble, be humble, be humble, okay? Because you may think, we build the worship center, not us. Who built this? God. When you become very successful, you better remind yourself, be humble, be humble, be humble. Now, to be humble does not mean you look down on yourself. To be humble is to have a proper perspective of who you are. It is not saying, I'm nobody, I'm nobody. These are proud people. You know, I notice if you ask people, can you say something? Can you sing? Ah, no, 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 I cannot sing. Can you say something? No, 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 I cannot. These are some of the proudest people. You know why? They're always thinking about themselves. They're shy. Do you know shy people are proud people? Why are you shy? Because you are always thinking of what others are thinking about you. Even though they're not thinking about you, but you are thinking they're thinking about you. Always conscious. Are you willing to be a fool for the sake of Jesus? Well, this guy, the Bible tells us. Let's read this. Everybody, when he became strong, his heart was so proud. He acted corruptly. He was unfaithful to the Lord his God. Remember what I told you? Pride is a root sin, is one of the root sin. It leads to what? Unfaithfulness. It leads to acting corruptly. Look at your own life. When you disobey God, why? Because you are thinking you are above the law. Look at this guy. He was a king. He was told, let's continue reading. He was unfaithful to the Lord his God. He entered the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar. Azariah the priest entered after him, with him 80 priests of the Lord, valiant men. And they opposed King Uzziah and said, it is not for you, Uzziah, to burn incense to the Lord, but for the priests, the sons of Aaron, who are consecrated to burn incense. Uzziah, with a censer in his hand for burning incense, was enraged. He became angry. Now look at me. Why did he become angry? Proud people do not want to be corrected. Proud people, when they are corrected, they get angry. Have you met such people? They will never admit they're wrong. You know why? Because proud people, when they're successful, they think they can never do wrong. Successful people think they're above others. They think another set of standards apply to them. Have you read the Newsweek Times magazine about all of this scandal with these politicians, with this World Bank leader? Have you read those articles? The question is, how come these leaders commit the most stupid thing? Because they are thinking, nobody will find out. I am above everybody else. The law doesn't apply to me. You see, proud people don't listen. They get angry. Very simple test. If the ushers were to tell you, okay, here we have ushers. They tell you now, sir, please sit here. Will you sit there? Or will you say, sino ka? Do you listen to ushers? Simple ushers. When they tell you, please stay here, please stay there. Do you say, You know, proud people do not listen. They think they have entitlement. What's the message today? Be humble. And the Bible tells us what happened to this guy. The leprosy broke on his forehead. They hurried him out of there. He himself also hastened to get out because the Lord had smitten him. God is opposed to the proud. He will continue to oppose the proud. He will never change his mind because God is opposed to the proud. He gives grace to the humble. Let's read this together. Nothing sets a person so much out of the devil's reach as humility. Be humble. Now, let me ask you a question. Are you proud or humble? Can I give you some tests? And then you examine yourself. Don't examine your neighbors, okay? Examine yourself. I have some tests. Just King Uzziah. You know, King Uzziah flunked the test. Example. The first test. The test of correction. If you are corrected, how do you feel? Do you change? Or do you get angry? I have personally experienced this. I talked to leaders. I talked to one particular leader. I told him what's wrong. I said, this is what I heard and this is what I feel is wrong with you. He got mad at me. I said, why are you angry at me? I am only a messenger. I'm telling you by your action, this is what they are saying. Why are you mad at me? Shooting the messenger. I said, if you don't want to listen, I won't talk to you anymore about this. Now, listen to me. If people don't tell you what's wrong with you, how can you improve? You know, I praise God. I have a group of men who love me. They don't mind telling me what's wrong with me. I praise God. I have a group of family members who are willing to tell me what's wrong with me. What about you? If nobody is correcting you, I tell you why. Nobody is correcting you. Not because you are perfect. Please don't deceive yourself, okay? If nobody is telling you what's wrong with you, don't think, I'm so good, that's why nobody corrects me. No, no, no. You are not that good. They're afraid to talk to you. What's my proof? You ask your wife, you ask your children, you ask your family members. Today, anak, can I improve somewhere? Yeah. Listen. The test of what? Submission. Now, do you submit to authority? Peter tells the young people, submit to the elders. Now, do you have any accountability group? You know, most of us don't like to submit to authority. Yes or no? Mga misis, Wake up. I'm talking to you now, Mrs. Do you like to submit to your husband? Op, don't say too loud. I don't like to submit to authority. But I tell myself, be humble. Learn to listen. The test of recognition. What about the test of recognition? Let me ask you, do you seek for recognition? If you sacrifice for the church, if you work so hard, do you want people to say, wow, galing mo, man, galing mo. And if they don't congratulate you, if they don't recognize you, do you feel bad? Do you feel like, hey, ayoko na, I will never serve CCF again. You know why? Nobody thanked me. Listen to me. Are you serving for men or for God? Let me ask you a question. If others are promoted and not you, can you honestly say, Lord, I thank you, I rejoice? Or are you saying, dapat ako yan, that should have been me. How dare this guy got promoted? That's a test of recognition. Are you after recognition? Why? Pride. What's the next one? The test of reputation. Now listen to me. Why are you so concerned about reputation? Can I tell you something? You cannot control what people will say about you. You cannot control what people think about you. May I suggest you focus on your character. Let God take care of your reputation. But don't try to waste your energy in trying to build a good reputation. In trying to tell everybody, every time you hear a criticism, every time you hear somebody's talking behind your back, you get so angry, you go to the person, listen to me. Don't be preoccupied with reputation. Be preoccupied with your character. Now let me ask you, did you pass the test? Or are you so onion skin, so sensitive, always focus on reputation? You get easily hurt, angry. Did they pass the test? Next, the test of dependence. You know, some people, they want independence. That's why they don't like to join any small group. I don't need a small group. I am okay. I am the Lone Ranger of CCF. Now listen to me. Lone Ranger does not really exist. It only exists in Hollywood. You know why you need people? You need accountability. You need people to pray for you. You need others to help you. Listen to me. Without others, there are certain blind spots in your character, in your life, that you will not see, but others can see. I feel sorry for Christian leaders that do not have accountability group. I feel sorry for anybody that does not have an accountability group that can speak love and truth in their lives. If you're having family problems, husbands, wives, problems, what do you do? Do you have other men that can look at your case objectively and tell you, brother, mali ka dito? Some of us, we want to be independent. The older I get, the more I realize I need your prayers. Brothers, sisters, listen to me. Will you commit to pray for me? Pray for my family? Yes or no? You know, I have a group that I don't mind sharing prayer requests. You need a group. Yes or no? So, next Sunday, I'll put out tables next Sunday for people who want to join a small group. Okay with you? All right. Next, the test of anxiety. Oh, nasa Bible ba yan? You mean to tell me if I'm anxious, I am proud? Let's find out. Let's look at the Bible. The Bible is very clear. Let's read this together now. Verse 6, everybody. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety upon Him, because He cares for you. Let me explain to you. The verb in verse 7 is a verbal participle. It is not a primary verb. That verb, casting all your anxiety, is supporting the main verb. What is the main verb? Humble yourselves. How do you humble yourselves? By casting all your anxiety. Let me explain to you. Proud people are anxious people because they want to control. You see, proud people think they can control. They can control people, they can control environment, but humble people surrender their anxieties. They know that they cannot control their environment. So they say, Lord, here are my anxieties. I give them to you. I am not asking you to surrender to circumstances. I'm asking you to surrender the circumstances to the Lord. I'm not asking people to be passive. Just give in to the circumstances. No, no, no. I'm asking you to give the circumstances to the Lord. You see, humble people are at peace. You know why? Because you know you are not in control. So what do you do, everybody? Verse 7. Casting all your anxieties. Why? He tells you why. Read. Because he cares for you. See, humble people do not try to control everything. I cannot control what's going to happen. So what do I do with my anxieties? Very simple. I give them to the Lord. There was a lady who came to talk to my wife. And she was so angry with her boss. Because she would come up with a marketing plan. She worked for a 5-star hotel, okay? And her plan would become very successful. And during the MANCOM meeting, her boss would take the credit. So she told my wife, I am so tired of my company. I want to resign. My wife asked her, why are you tired? Why do you want to resign? Is it your pride? She thought about it. She did not resign. Praise God. 1 year later, she came to my wife. She said, you know what happened to my boss? She was asked to resign. Because the boss of the boss knows what she has been doing. She has been stealing the credit. She has been taking what she has not done. She wants to tell people she has done it. And now I was promoted to take her place. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may what? Exalt you at the proper time. In the meantime, you cast all your anxieties. That is the context. You see, people were mistreating the believers. The Jewish Christians, the non-Jewish Christians, were persecuted by the Gentiles. And it was not fair. They were suffering. This verse was given. Humble yourselves. If people take advantage of you, humble yourselves. Why? God will exalt you. When? Look at that verse. When will God exalt you? At the proper time. What does that mean? I don't know when. In God's time. He will exalt you. I'm reminded as we close the story of this amazing missionary. I always want to make sure I don't miss his name. His name is H.C. Morrison. H.C. Morrison was a great missionary to Africa. After serving Africa for many, many years, it was time to go back home. They don't have furloughs during those days. They serve until they get old. So when he went back home on the ship, he was shocked. When they arrived in the harbor, New York City, he was surprised. Thousands of people were lined up, firecrackers, ribbons. The vice president was there. The mayor of New York City was there. You know whom they were welcoming? President Roosevelt. Because President Roosevelt just came from Africa, from a safari. He was greeted like a hero. So everybody greeted him. Then after the parade, he was there alone with his wife and the bag. And he said, "Hey, how ironic. I give my life to serve God. And the president goes to Africa to a hunting trip. And when we get home, he gets a hero's welcome. And here, no one recognizes us. No one is welcoming us." Praise God. Wonderful wife said, honey, we are not home yet. This is not home. You know what I'm reminded of? Someday, in due time, when you and I get home, I won't be surprised if I will hear the trumpet sound and the angels rejoicing and welcoming all of us one by one. Good job. Welcome to the home. Enter the joy of your Heavenly Father. When will that be? I don't know. Look at this verse as we close. Everybody, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may what? Exalt you at the proper time. I tell you, this is guaranteed. When? I don't know. Be humble. But I've discovered you cannot be humble until you come to know Jesus. Because only Jesus can give you the power and the grace to trust Him. And humility involves trust. Have you come to surrender your life to Jesus? The Bible tells us, be humble. Why? God is opposed to the proud. Why? He gives grace to the humble. And why? He will exalt you at the proper time. In the meantime, what should you do? You cast your burden. Have you cast your burden? I don't know what your burden. The worst burden is the burden of sin. The anxiety of sin. You don't have forgiveness. You don't understand forgiveness because you have never come to Jesus. I want you to cast your sin, all your failures, all your anxieties to Jesus. Why? He said, I care for you. Do you understand that phrase? He cares for you. He cares what you are caring about. Cast your burden to Jesus. Come to Him. Let's pray. You know, I've been wondering if all of us will practice humility by coming to Jesus, by telling Jesus our problems. I wonder what will happen. Some of you have never, you have not admitted your pride. You think you are humble. But in the eyes of God, you are not. Why don't you do something today and say, Lord Jesus, today, I admit I am a proud person. I want you to help me become humble. I recognize you as the King of Kings. I humble myself before you. Why don't you pray that prayer? Lord Jesus, there may be some of us here this afternoon who are full of self, full of pride. We have never surrendered our lives to you because we think we can control our destiny. We think we are so good, but Father God, we need you. Lord Jesus, I pray for these men and women who are willing to pray this prayer right now. A prayer of humility. Something like this. Lord Jesus, I admit I'm a proud person. I admit I've sinned against you. I now humble myself. I come to you as my Lord and my Savior. Lord, I'm a sinner. I need forgiveness. I come to you. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. Thank you for your promise. Those who humble themselves will be exalted at the proper time. In Jesus' name we all pray. Amen and amen.